I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini, folks. This is the night, the NCAA selection show brought to you by Illini Guys. This is Illini Guy Mike Kegley, and we have a stacked roster tonight. We have Illini Guy Larry Smith and Illini Guy Brad Sturdy, along with Kedrick Prince, the director of recruiting for Illini Guys, Matt Stevens, the Illini Guys staff writer, and Connor Kegley, the Illini Guys basketball writer. We are going to break down what we saw today on the selection show, kind of give you our thoughts on quite a few subjects. And let's start off with discussing what we thought, each of you, about the first 4 seeds, the top 16 teams in the country. Was there anything that jumped out at you, anything that surprised you, or you had an objection to? So I'm going to start with our resident bracketology expert, Larry Smith, who has had a long career of picking the seeds out and getting the teams correct. The other thing that you will see and you want to be looking is he will have a Dirty Dozen that will be out on the IlliniGuys.com website that will help you know what 12 teams Will you do not want to put your money on. I'm going to let Larry describe it a little more than that. But Larry, give us your thoughts on the top here.
Yeah, we'll talk Dirty Dozen here in a minute. But, you know, Mike, I mean, I think we all agree that, first off, it's exciting for Illinois to be in this position because for so many times, you know, in the not too distant past, we went into Selection Sunday knowing that we didn't even have to watch. And even the NIT wasn't a part of our future either. We just were like, let's start complaining about the offseason. So it's great for Illinois to actually know that we knew going in, they were locked into at least a 4 seed. That's what happened. A couple of things stood out. I thought that, first of all, Duke highly overrated in this, the worst resume of anybody in the top 2 lines. But they're Duke. But I think, again, no favors there. They've got to face Michigan State as a 2 seed and possible 7 seed. Even Davidson be a great matchup there if a fellow Carolina team knocked him off in round 2. It'd be a perfect send-off for Coach K to lose his final home game against UNC, his final ACC tournament game, and a final at that, and then to lose to a tiny school that has less than 2,000 students in it from Carolina as well would just be just poetic justice right there. But anyway, thought that was shocking. Not a lot of love for the Big Ten. You know, Purdue, a 3 seed, Wisconsin, a 3 seed, Illinois, a 4 seed. I thought that was disappointing. A lot of love for the SEC. I thought Arkansas as a 4 was kind of high, but I think we all kind of felt the number 1 seeds, Gonzaga, Arizona, Baylor, Kansas. We all agree with those number 1, you know, but overall, I think this not a lot of surprises. This bracket, I think, really kind of fell the way that most of us thought it would.
Yeah, that was a lot of people are saying that. Brad, you know, you've been covering the Illini for 20 long years. What were your thoughts on looking at the top 4 seeds here?
The only ones I agree with Larry on Duke. I thought Duke's overseeded. I thought Tennessee very easily could have slid into that 2 line. I thought they got a raw deal there. The other one is, I'm surprised, and I know they're going to talk resume. I just don't think Wisconsin's a three seed. I thought they're going to look good because I think they got a great draw. But I think I would have, you know, Illinois as a four, Wisconsin's a three. I don't think that Wisconsin is better than Illinois. I really don't. So, and, you know, so I thought that was maybe they were a little bit too high seeded. I just don't think they're that good. And of course, we've been saying that all year. They keep winning close games up until the last couple. So other than that, it was pretty much chalk. I thought, you know, everybody had it pretty right for the most part, other than those.
Yeah, and I look at Wisconsin as the NCAA basketball equivalent of the 2001 Bears. They were the worst 13-3 team I'd ever seen, but they're still 13-3. And that's kind of how I look at the Wisconsin Badgers. Kedrick, what was your thought when you looked at these?
Well, I don't want to like rehash a ton of what Larry and what Brad said. I just want to touch on those two a little bit, things that they said. The situation with Duke, I just think it's a gift. We kind of knew that coming into it. You know, Coach K Swansong, the ACC was brutal this year. It wasn't a good conference this year, and I think they were given the gift. And my, you know, I know we all cover the University of Illinois, but my biggest gripe, even if I didn't cover them, would be Wisconsin getting that four seed, like Brad mentioned. You know, you look at, they shared the conference title. It was, you know, they were co-champs. They met one time, and Illinois beat them head-to-head. They both lost the first round of the Big Ten tournament, and I think they just got a gift. And, you know, and it's, I don't know what the selection committee is looking at. I think Illinois was, I don't know, sometimes they say they don't listen to what Joe Lenardi and Seth Davis and all those guys think, and, you know, and Andy Katz. But Illinois has been locked in as a four for a long time, and I don't think it mattered. And I just think that's kind of unfair when you know they went head-to-head. They should have been that three seed, and I think they were just given that. And even Purdue really struggled. So that's kind of my two cents with it.
Perfect. Thanks, Ked. Connor, what were your thoughts on the top four seed lines?
Pretty much the same thoughts as everyone else. I mean, Duke didn't really deserve it. Tennessee probably should have been either the two seed above them. And then, you know, from there, you could probably make an argument Purdue or Villanova gets the other two seed, but they're going to go with the one that wins their conference tournament at the end of the season there. So that wasn't a surprise, although you could make the argument that Purdue's resume was better. And then Illinois should have been above Wisconsin, but here we are getting, you know, the arguably the toughest one seed in the Sweet 16 and a rematch against a team that we could have pulled out a close one if the ball rolls the other way.
And Matt, you get to bring up the kind of the wrap here on the first four seed lines. What are your thoughts?
If you're not Houston, Duke, or a mid-major, I thought it was pretty net-centric. If you go up and down, I was initially shocked at something like Tennessee getting seeded higher than Purdue. And then you look at it from a net standpoint, from a resume standpoint, and Tennessee had every right to be in Indianapolis and Purdue didn't. And then you look at it from a net standpoint and Purdue has every right to be in Milwaukee and Illinois doesn't, from that standpoint. So again, I think if you're Houston, you're sitting there with a net three and going, why are we a five seed? And then if you're Duke, you're sitting there as a net, what did they end up after today? A net 13 and getting a gift and getting a two seed. So I thought they went pretty much by the numbers unless you're a mid-major or you're Duke or you're Houston. And I can't fault them for it, but it's a little bit different than what I've seen before.
All right. Well, that's good. As we
might. Mike, go ahead, Larry. I want to kind of go back and just real quick to kind of wrap up that part of it. I think part of it too is that they do go into the records of the quad 1, 2, 3, and 4 quite a bit. And the biggest difference for Wisconsin was they were 9-3 against quad 1 and 7-2 against quad 2 and 16-5 overall, where Illinois was 6-6, 6-3 at 12-9. And if you look for a differential, I know they had the two losses in quad three. The Illinois had no losses outside of the top first two quads. I know Illinois beat them head to head. I know that Wisconsin came in on a two game losing streak and their worst loss ever at home against Nebraska, which was horrible. But the committee, you find that they say they look at strength of schedule. They don't. Duke's a perfect example of that. I mean, you know, it goes to show you that if you're Duke,
You can play two ranked teams. You can play two teams in the top 25 of the net. You can play only two teams in the top 25 of the RPI and get a two seed. I mean, that's what it shows you. I mean, Duke, we complain about, people complain about Gonzaga. So we get this out of the way. They complain about Gonzaga. Gonzaga is much more qualified to be a top two lines than Duke. You know, I mean, to Matt's point, Tennessee should have been in there for that.
Yeah. And it is, it's a challenge, the job that they have to do. And of course the Illinois fan just looks at the head to head, because you're not looking at, you know, 68 teams and trying to balance them. And it's easy just to look and say, hey, that 11 point victory or whatever it was, that's what should determine it. And it goes back to the point that a lot of Illinois fans or any fan of any school would say, you know, win a few more of those close games and Illinois wouldn't have had any issues overall, you know, as they started up. So now let's jump, as they finish the season, you win two or three of those close games. Illinois ends up winning the Big Ten with some air to breathe. And, you know, you're maybe a one or a two seed. And a lot of other teams could have said the same thing, including Wisconsin. All they had to do was beat Nebraska and win one game in the tournament, and they didn't. As we go on and take a look at the Illini matchup in the first round, Brad, why don't you give us kind of a thumbnail of what you're thinking based on, you know, what's going on with UT Chattanooga, what you know about that particular team. Obviously, you haven't had a lot of time to take a look at it up close and personal. But what kind of draw is this for the Illini?
Yeah, it's an intriguing draw because, of course, Malachi Smith is their best player. He is he was teammate with EJ Liddell in high school. So Illinois got to see him play quite a bit. He's a 6'4", physical, strong, wing. He does a lot of good things. The one thing is, I think Illinois does have a matchup for him. His name is Devontae Williams, who can really match up well with him. The other thing I would say is that, you know, they've got Silvio D'Souza, who Illinois recruited out of high school, who went to Kansas and never played and wasn't out, and all these stories, and here he is now playing at Chattanooga. And, you know, so obviously they have a little bit of size, but he's not going to handle Kofi Coburn. So they've got some nice guards. I really think that they match up. I think Illinois match up really well with them. When you look at the matchups, you're going to put Trent on their point guard. There's a guy who's a standstill shooter that you can kind of put on Plummer on and say, hey, guard this guy, you know, so and just don't leave him. So they've got a good matchup there. And the one thing that stands out to me is Chattanooga. Teams shoot 52% from two-point range against Chattanooga. That means Kofi Coburn is going to be shooting his 60% field goal percentage against a team that allows 52% overall. Means he's probably going to shoot 70 or 75%, and he's going to get a lot of clean looks down in the paint. And they're going to—they really don't defend the rim as well as you'd think they would with a little bit of size they have. So I think it's a good matchup for Illinois. They don't play fast. They're going to kind of grind it out. You know, they're 305th, I think, in pace in the country. So, but I think they're a good match. Illinois got a great matchup for them, especially Kofi Coburn's just dominant against that team.
All right. Ked, you've obviously had a chance to look at it. What are your thoughts about what's going to happen here at the end of the week on Friday?
Well, I guess we should probably cancel the podcast because everybody in the country is picking them to beat Illinois, you know, tonight, because, I mean, and they are. I mean, you name it. And I guess everybody has to look for that upset. What I think from a, you know, when we went into this season, you know, Illinois has the total package. And to me, you know, I look at it the other way. I look at how teams have to defend Illinois. I think, you know, losing to Indiana, you know, they got a fresh, you know, they're going to get a fresh start, and teams have to worry about Illinois. Kofi's a tough matchup, you know, for anybody. I don't care who's in the tournament. I mean, he learned his lesson against Arizona, I think, early on. I just think if they're shooting the ball well, and there's a team game, but I think Illinois goes as Trent goes. And I think if Trent goes, he's aggressive, you know, he's going to put pressure on the defense. And, you know, if Plummer's making shots, Illinois is tough, and they do defend well. You know, Brad mentioned, you know, Demonte, you know, being a tough guard for a lot of people. They have to know their roles. And I think maybe, you know, actually when I saw them, when they got their seed, they didn't celebrate. you know, from my understanding, they have a little chip on their shoulder. I think they're frustrated, and I think they're ready to show the world how good they can be. And maybe it's good that people think that they're going to beat them. But I think Illinois can match up with anybody in the country. We knew that coming in, and that hasn't changed for me.
Connor, what are your thoughts?
I think the first thing Illinois is going to need is they're going to need good performances from at least two of the three guards that they usually run with in Plummer and Frazier and Curbelo. You can't have two of them off again like we saw against Indiana and like we saw against Loyola last year. It's just the guards, they're veteran guards. You got to be able to, you know, show up when you're going home if you don't. And I think Kofi's pretty much got to the point where he's going to do what he's going to do. You're going to get 20 and 10 out of him as probably, you know, the minimum. You'd like for him to shoot well from the free throw line and to, you know, punish the teams for making that easy foul on him in the post. But past that, you have an advantage in the post. And if you get Coleman Hawkins playing well, you could probably even argue that he provides, you know, the X factor and can really up the ceiling of this team.
Matt, what are your thoughts about that matchup?
To echo what Brad said, they are 172nd in guarding the rim. And you would think with a team that had Silvio DiCiuzio on it, they would be better than that. They're not. 20 and 10, I think I'll echo what Brad Underwood tells Kofi Coburn all the time. Go get 30 and 20 because they can't guard you. And the one thing they do really well defensively is they guard the three ball. And so if Illinois gets three happy, they could be in trouble and be in trouble big time offensively. What I think I'm encouraged by, even in the Indiana game, is defensively this team has traveled in a sense. They have figured out a way to hold Iowa to 72. They've held, you know, teams under what they want to shoot and under what they want to score. If they defend and if they clear out the glass and if they feed Kofi Coburn the ball, I think that they'll get through Chattanooga, and then you worry about the second round game. But I think this idea that Chattanooga is going to pull off this upset, they better hit a whole bunch of shots and they better hope that Kofi Coburn doesn't dunk the ball and misses a whole bunch of bunnies.
So Larry, why don't you kind of take us home with that matchup and some of the things that you're seeing. And then after that, we'll kind of take a look at that bracket overall.
Well, I mean, I support everyone else says. I was really happy to hear what Kedrick said, that these guys were not celebrating and a bit of a chip on their shoulder, because that's the bottom line. This team is better than what we have seen on some nights. You know, look, it's the Big Ten. It is the best league in the country. It is the toughest league with the best coaches top to bottom. I don't want to hear – it's not just the top four or five. When you see a team like Nebraska last place with its best player in street clothes – go into a co-champion and beat them at their place? Sorry. I mean, that doesn't happen anywhere else. Missouri has no chance of winning at Auburn. That's why the top four teams in the SEC were 64-1 or something at home, because it just doesn't happen. So, you know, I think that's the thing that, like these guys said, I think this sets up very well to beat Chattanooga and then to win the next game because of what Illinois has. But it's time for them to come up and set this up. You should be ticked off. You should feel slighted. You should feel that you're undervalued. And the way you change that is go out and dominate. So I'd like to see a Drexel-type performance that we saw last year in Friday night in their game against the Mocs, and then on Sunday, whoever they play next, and show the world that you really are that good. Not a team that's lost nine games. You're a team that happened to have nine off nights. But now it's time to have those good nights. If you do that, I agree with these guys. You've got the elements here still. There's a reason that people were still saying as of a few days ago that there were eight or nine teams built to win in March, and Illinois was one of them. Illinois was the only one with eight losses. There's a reason for that. And the thing now is the pundits are not going to pick Illinois, because once again, they came up short, you know, and they got upset in the opening round. So then Indiana takes they're the media darling. And now Iowa's the media darling. So Illinois still, I think, is Illinois and Purdue are still the best teams in the Big Ten. I still think that. And it's just time for them to go out and show it.
Now to kind of pivot over overall in that out there in the South, what do you think of that overall bracket? And we'll start with Larry. I'll let you kind of start this one around. What do you think about that overall bracket? Any thoughts or any teams out there that you look at and you go, I don't want to see them or anybody. You know, we just talked about what the Illini have to do immediately. What about the overall bracket?
Well, I think one, we talk about teams getting dissed every year. We can always do this. And I think Brad mentioned it earlier and everyone else that Tennessee, I think Matt said too, Tennessee got a raw deal as a three. If I'm Villanova, I'm thinking, great, I get Tennessee as my opponent, as my three seed. That's who I get in the Sweet 16 if I get that far. I think the Ohio State, I'm not sure if they have any gas left right now. We saw what Loyola did last year. We know that too painfully well from a year ago. They've shown that they're better than – they're not just Porter Moser and Cameron Krutwig. They can still get it done. And so I think that's a tough matchup that could be for them in the second round. You know, I think the Arizona-Illinois game is intriguing. I mean, I think we all agree Arizona is one of the best teams in the country, if not the best. But this was a team that, if you recall, came down to an Illinois mental error in the final 30 seconds. That was the difference in that game in Champaign. So as much as Illinois fans are concerned about facing Arizona, Arizona's a little concerned about facing Illinois as well, because they played toe-to-toe with them in December. And I think that both teams are better now. And I think that Arizona's without one of their, I think Creese is out. Kirk Creese may be out, I think I saw somewhere. So, you know, they may be a man down. So, you know, that's kind of how I see that sizing up. I would love to see Illinois get another crack at Arizona and this time put them away.
Brad, anything that jumped out at you when you saw that bracket, particularly with Arizona at the top of it for the Illini?
Yeah, I mean, I think Arizona's the one seed. I think they're the best team. I think that they'll, you know, Kirk Raysa is expected to be back for at least their second game. So I don't know if he'll play in the 116 game, but he should be able to play in the second one. I think Arizona is the best team. I really do. I think they're the most talented team in the country. But I also think that Illinois can match up with them better than a lot of people can. I think they can do some things against them. You remember the last time they had, you know, people say, well, they did this, they did this. Illinois front court really struggled against them. Coleman Hawkins had a brutal game, and he's playing really well right now. Kofi Coburn had the worst game of the season. So this is, I think you're going to see better. You saw Kofi much better the second time you saw Purdue. I think you have to learn how to play against those kind of guys, like a Coloco, who I think's, you know, great defensively. The other thing to think about when I talk about Arizona and that matchup is nobody on Arizona scored on Trent Frazier the entire game. He pitched a shutout. When he guarded Mathurin, he didn't score, even though he finished with 30. When he guarded Creasa, he didn't score. No matter who he guarded, they didn't score. So now it's those other guys have to step up and do at least a serviceable job on those players when Trent's not guarding them. And having Andre Curbelo might be the difference there. If you're trying to guard those guys coming off those ball screens.
Yeah. Yeah. People forget it was a home game for the Illini, but there was also no Curbelo. So it does kind of make one mouth water a little bit to see those guys come together again. Ked, what are you thinking on that bracket?
Well, the first thing is, I mean, I know we're Big Ten guys. I don't know how Michigan got in. I'm sorry. I just don't. That was the first thing that I saw to me with a 17-14 record. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you want to say, Michigan. I don't know how they got in with that. I've said all year long, when I saw Illinois play Arizona in Champaign, every podcast we've done, every show I've done, I've always thought Arizona was the best team in the country because they're just loaded. They do things extremely well. And I think Illinois shot the ball really, really well. And it would be great to play them again, but they can't do what they've done. Illinois has kind of been flat. They need, like Connor mentioned earlier, they need Curbelo, they need Trent, and they need guys to shoot the basketball and Plummer. I mean, they just cannot go out there and go 2-for-12 and expect to beat them. That's a high-octane offense. They're deserving of their number one seed. I have no problem with that. I would have much rather went somewhere else because Illinois just played them. But you know what? If you want to be the best, you got to be the best. And that's the way I look at it. So other than the Michigan, you know, situation, I guess on a neutral court, and, you know, Brad mentioned, you know, Trent's defense and, you know, how well he shot it and Plummer, but they're going to need to repeat that again, I think, if they want to try to advance.
Yeah, I'm tempted to say, Juwanna fight, but I won't do that. we'll see how Juwan handles things there in the first round. Connor, anything that jumped out to you on that bracket?
Yeah, I am. I'm looking at this 7-10 matchup, and I'm just hoping for a Loyola victory over Ohio State so that EJ Liddell can finish his college career with zero tournament wins, because if Illinois loses to Loyola Chicago, he should at least, you know, as a hometown Illinois guy, he has to have the same fate in the tournament. Let's see that happen at least once. And past that, I mean, I know you don't want to like overlook the Houston team, but that Arizona matchup, I mean, if Illinois gets there, you know, you win that game, Illinois shouldn't be afraid of anybody else in the entire rest of the tournament. If you win that one, you potentially knock off, at least in my opinion, I think they're better than Gonzaga, you know, the number one overall seed. And that's the one that if you win that one, nobody's going to be wondering, you know, can we win this next one? Can we win this next one? It's going to be, we already took out the best team. Now we just got to take care of business.
Matt, what are your thoughts?
I think Houston's really good. So if Illinois gets by Chattanooga, they're going to have their hands full with their second round opponent, which I think is going to be Houston. It's so funny that the two teams all year long nationally that have dealt with the most injuries and the most players that have been out are Houston and Illinois. And I have so much respect for what Houston has done this year with what they've been able to do, mixing and matching all the guys that they've been in and out of their lineup. And they went a really, really long time where, you know, they opened February where their two losses this year were a two point neutral site loss against Wisconsin and a 1 point loss at Alabama. And they've rolled through everybody else. They have a big that I think nobody can one-on-one handle Kofi Coburn for 40 minutes, but I think that he can keep them in the ball game and actually make Kofi Coburn guard him from a standpoint of that. And if there's anything I know about the way that Calvin Sampson's teams have worked at Houston is that they are just a pain in the you-know-what trying to get a bucket. Because they are the king of trying to win rock fights in the 50s and 60s. And Illinois tends to get a little bit emotional and a little bit lack of – you tend to lose their head a little bit when a team wants to play them that way. So I look at it – I'm not even looking as far as, you know, the second weekend, because I think Illinois is going to have absolutely all they can handle with Houston if they get to that second-round matchup.
Yeah, that's true. And, of course, you know, Calvin Sampson pretty much showed Penny today that him coaching coaching against Penny was probably as one-sided as if Penny would play Kelvin in a game of one-on-one. Wasn't very close at all. So now let's talk about.
I gotta say one thing. Can I say something about that?
Yeah, sure.
Who's Houston beaten?
Well,
Memphis one time.
They have no quad one wins.
Oklahoma State.
That's what I'm saying. They haven't played anybody. I mean, you know, they got beat by Alabama and they got beat by Wisconsin. I get that, you know, close losses, but they haven't beat anybody. I mean, Oklahoma State, Memphis, I don't know. Man, I don't know. I mean, I get they're good. They're really well coached. Love him or hate him. Most Illinois fans are going to hate him, but
yep.
He's a really good coach. But at the same time, man, I just don't know. Without their two key players, I don't know.
Yep.
No, yeah, that's fair. I want to say this win over Memphis was their best win. But yeah, I think that's their first quad one win was the conference title game over Memphis. I agree with you guys. He's an excellent coach, but he doesn't have the horses that he had last year,
which I'm happy about. So now let's talk about you know, you guys could kind of talk about some of the Big Ten teams out there for the Illini guys fans who were kind of interested at, you know, how the Boilermakers and the Badgers and others fared. Larry, anything jump out at you in terms of the Big Ten? Good draws, bad draws in the middle? We've already kind of talked about Ohio State a little bit, but and Michigan, but anybody else jump out at you?
Yeah, I do want to go back to what Ked said about Michigan. I had Michigan in. I thought win or lose in the tournament they were going to be in. And the reason why is just this was a very soft bubble this year, a very weak bubble. And their resume in most other years would not have made it, but them getting in and getting a bye, they're skipping the play-in games. Like Indiana did not avoid that. Indiana's in a play-in game. Is just reflective, not so much of them, but how poor the bubble is this year. I mean, it's there were some really weak bubble teams, and that's why Michigan's able to get in. That's kind of the answer there. Their resume was better than those other teams.
You know, I think a couple things stand out. I mean, obviously Iowa is the sexy team right now, and for good reason. This is a team that was, as of 2 weeks ago, was probably an 8 or 9 seed in all the projections. And I think we had them the same way. They deserve a 5 seed. They're a tough out. And Providence gets no favors. The regular season champ of the Big East may get Iowa in round two. That should be a good matchup. But I want to say this about the Big Ten. 9 teams in. And if you watch the selection show on CBS on Sunday afternoon, there was zero love for the Big Ten. Other than, you know, I think Seth picked Wisconsin as his final, you know, to go to the Final Four. And then I think Clark picked Iowa. But there's a reason for that. When you go 21 years without a champion, there's a reason for that. So the Big Ten can't be mad because you have to go out and win. And if you don't get it done again this year, maybe you look at not playing 20 league games, which I'm in favor of. I think you should if you're a mega league. Maybe you have to change something because this drought is unbelievable. Your teams are too good. Your coaches are too good. But there's a reason that nobody respects you. And that's the reason why. So if you're Illinois, if you're Wisconsin, if you're Purdue, put up or shut up. It's time. Go out. We support you. We think you're fantastic. We believe in you. But when you go home before the first weekend's over and you're already out, or you're not the one cutting down the nets in the end, and it's happened for 2 decades. I mean, the 98% of the players in the Big Ten right now were not even born the last time the Big Ten won a title. So and those who were, you know, weren't watching basketball back then. So it's time to step up, and I'll leave it at that. Seth Davis took the Big Ten deep. Listen, mark my words. I've known Seth 25 years. Listen very closely. Seth Davis knows nothing about the Big Ten. When he worked for the Big Ten Network, he knew nothing about the Big Ten. I teased Seth in 2005 because he picked Michigan State to lose every single round. I see him at the Final Four, and I said, don't tell me. Michigan State's going to lose, right? Because before Michigan State played North Carolina, I said, don't tell me they're going to lose. I mean, they probably will now. At least you'll be 1-for-4 this year. He doesn't know anything about the Big Ten. So because Seth goes out and hangs his hat on Chattanooga means zip to you Illinois fans. And I say that with love. I would say that to Seth's face. I'm not trying to talk about him. He knows about the Big Ten. So when these pundits are ignoring the Big Ten, there's a reason they don't know anything about you. Illinois, they don't. So forget them. Go do what you got to do and get your wins. And I'll get off my soapbox and let somebody else talk. How's that?
All right, Brad, you got to follow that soapbox.
Yeah,
go for it.
I don't have a soapbox. Here's what I'll say. Brad Underwood mentioned it in his presser today. The Big Ten pretty much cannibalized each other. You have a lot of good teams in the Big Ten. I don't know that you have a great team. I think you've got teams like, Illinois and Purdue that are in Iowa who I think can make a run. So just going through this, I would say this. I think that they were I think Illinois is fully healthy all year. I think they would have been a higher seed. So maybe they'd have been that team. But I think that you don't have a great team. And so it is what it is. And Larry's exactly right. They need to go ahead and put up, shut up. For the Big Ten, though, I love Iowa right now. Keegan Murray is the best player in the country, period. End of story. Number one player in the country. I love the way they're playing. But they just played 4 games in 4 days. They had a great stretch. And I remember a team last year that had a great stretch at the end, and maybe they didn't finish the way you wanted because they didn't have the legs in the second round. So we'll see how that plays out going forward. Third game, I want Purdue and Kentucky. I want Oscar Tshiebwe going against Zach Edey and Trevion Williams. I think that, and Jaden Ivey going against Kentucky. I think that would be a fun matchup.
No, that's a great matchup.
Hey, I should say one more thing. Indiana needed to beat Illinois to get in. That with them being a play-in game, if they don't beat Illinois, they wouldn't have gotten in. So I think that now, you know, we talked about Brad Underwood sending wine to Fred Hoiberg. I think Mike Woodson better send something to Brad Underwood.
Yes, let's make sure Brad has something to drink this week. Kedrick, how, any other Big Ten highlights that you noticed?
Well, I mean, Brad mentioned the fact that, you know, there's no great teams in the Big Ten. You know, I think they start over. They're 0-0. I think the two best teams in the Big Ten, it is Illinois and Purdue. It is. I mean, whether they play like it or not, remains to be seen. I think those two teams can play with anybody in the country. Iowa is hot right now. I just think I don't want to use the tire legs with Iowa because, you know what, I've been complaining about that, you know, with Illinois forever. I was shot the hell out of it today. It's an excuse. You got to play. They're 19, 20-year-old kids, and for Illinois' sake, they got a couple of 22, 23-year-old kids on the team. It's put up or shut up. The thing that I guess bothered me with Seth was that he complained about the Big Ten getting 9 teams in and what they did last year. Last year was in the past. This is a totally different year. I mean, I don't care what happened in the past last year. The issue is, you're right, they need to win. They need to flat out – go ahead, Larry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I want to piggyback on that. Go ahead.
Okay. They need to go out and to win. If they get a Final Four team, to me, the Big Ten, it's not a failure, because the Big Ten is, you know, they haven't won a title. But if you guys are all smart enough to know and understand, Michigan had a good run and Wisconsin had a good run, and there was a lot of Final Four teams and championship teams from the Big Ten. They just didn't win it. But to sit here and think that they're not good teams, and Larry, you mentioned the 20 games. I'm not a fan. It is a grind. One of you guys mentioned, Larry, you mentioned it. Nebraska, the last place in the Big Ten, went to Wisconsin and won. That is a grind. You saw Brad Underwood's post-game press conference. He's tired of the Big Ten. It is coaching, coaching, coaching. And if you want to make a change, you get rid of some of these officials, because I don't think that's going to help them either in the tournament. The way the game is officiated in the Big Ten versus some of the other conferences, I think that needs to be looked at.
What I wanted to pick it back was about what you said about Seth Davis talking to the Big Ten last year. You're exactly right. You know why he talked about last year? That's all he knows about the Big Ten is last year. That's my point. You made my point exactly. He has no idea. He's picking a Wisconsin team that's without its best player. Davis was what, 3 of 15 shooting or something? Here's the thing. You know what's? Did you notice who Seth Davis didn't talk about in the selection show? Anybody notice this? He didn't talk about the ACC. And that should tell you all you need to know. He's picking on the Big Ten last year because he has nothing to say about the ACC this year because it's a terrible, crappy league. And he's an ACC guy. He didn't mention a word about the ACC. And that should tell you something.
Well, Connor, now you get to follow Larry's soapbox. Brad's already had to do it. Now you have to do it. So talk about any of the Big Ten matchups that you're interested in.
I'm sorry, Con.
I'm sitting here, I'm looking at this, and I'm going, I still think there's, 7 teams in the Big Ten that could theoretically make the Elite Eight. It's going to take some upsets for it to happen, but I think Illinois, Purdue, Wisconsin, Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State can all make the Elite Eight. They're going to have to go through some higher seeds. Illinois is going to have to beat Arizona. Purdue's going to have to beat Kentucky. Wisconsin's going to have to beat Auburn. Iowa's going to have to beat Kansas. Ohio State and Michigan are going to have to beat Villanova and Tennessee, and then the winner of the opposite of that matchup. And then Michigan State's going to have to beat Duke and then potentially Texas Tech or Alabama. So, I mean, the Big Ten's going to have their opportunities to make, you know, they have all the chances they can go. But eventually you got to – win the game. You can't just say that we're beating up on each other and then lose every single game in the postseason. And if you start stacking a couple of years of that, that's when it will eventually hurt your brand. But I don't really, the title argument for me is just like way overblown, because you look at it, you go, over that time period, would you say, you know, the Big East is a way better basketball conference than the Big Ten just because Villanova had 2 years where they had title teams in there? Is the Pac-12 a better conference because I don't think they've won a title in that time span either? And is the Big 12 really that much better because they had 1 year of Kansas winning a title that, you know, Derrick Rose, they missed the free throws that year, and then Mario Chalmers hits a three. I don't really know if just having a title team makes you a better conference in general versus, you know, the Big Ten's had, what, 7 teams make the title game during that span? I mean, that's my argument, but might be a little bit off base.
So, Matt, that kind of leads in. We'll have you, you know, kind of wrap up on this one, but that kind of leads into what you think of the Big Ten, and some of these arguments are stuff that you've that tangentially hit on some of the things that you've talked with people on the board about.
Yeah, I think that the Big Ten cannibalizes each other. I think we've all said it perfectly. If I look at it individually with Big Ten, I love Wisconsin's draw. Absolutely love it, because I have witnessed firsthand the idea of Wisconsin playing in Milwaukee, and it's home. That's a home game for them. I mean, there are Badger fans that will make that trip, and it's not a short trip. And that is a home state for them. Marquette does not have a whole lot of brand name, even in their own city, when it comes to Badger Red. And then you've got, if I were so inclined, I couldn't wait to go to the booth to bet against LSU, whoever they were going to play, wherever they were going to play. And I love it, because my guy TJ Alsenberger over at Iowa State has done the biggest turnaround in college basketball this year. They were 2-20 last year, guys. And he gets to go in his first year to the NCAA tournament. And he was born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So there's going to be a whole bunch of people wearing red and yellow on that game. And I think they're going to blow LSU out. And but I also think Wisconsin's better than Iowa State. So I think that they can walk to that Sweet 16 game in Chicago against potentially Auburn. And I just love their draw to get to the second weekend. That's the one I looked at, and I thought, if Wisconsin can get to Milwaukee, which seemed like a likely bet, and then they got I think anytime you're playing a Patriot League team or you're playing an Ivy League team and you're the Big Ten, that means you've got better athletes. And quite honestly, I think that's a big check mark for Wisconsin, because they can't usually say that, but I think they'll have better athletes than Colgate. And then they get to play a team that I think they're just going to be better than, whether it's LSU or I think it's going to be Iowa State. I can't wait, if I was so inclined, to bet against LSU. And so that's the one where I looked at and I thought Wisconsin got every box checked today that they wanted to have to at least get to the second weekend.
So Matt gives us a little bit of our Eye on the Lions podcast with some betting info there for those who like to do that for their enjoyment only.
If you're so inclined.
So to kind of close things off, we're going to go around the horn one more time. Larry, maybe you can give us your prediction and any other storylines or anything that maybe we didn't bring up that you find interesting.
Well, we did promise at the top that the Dirty Dozen thing, and that'll go up noon yep. on Monday on IlliniGuys.com. The Dirty Dozen is 11-0, and it is a formula. You take the top six lines, the top 24 seeded teams, and the matrix, it's a numbers game. The matrix will spit out the 12 teams that will not win the NCAA championship. And it's never missed. 11-0, probably the most famous of those would be 2015, the undefeated Kentucky team. The matrix said, no, they're dirty, don't take them. And they lost. So there's some surprising teams in there, and we'll just leave it at that. We'll let it speak for itself when the list comes out. I think a couple teams we haven't talked about. I'd like the Rutgers beating Notre Dame, and I think they'll give Alabama a tough time coming out of that 6-11 game once they get past the play-in game. I'm not a big Indiana fan. I agree that Brad was saying that you're right, that Indiana gets in because they beat Illinois. That was kind of the final piece they needed. Indiana kind of – they stumbled their way into the NCAA. I mean, they didn't beat Michigan or Illinois. Michigan, Illinois let them win. I mean, it was just one where they just, you know, there were so many mistakes that Indiana made that never took that game. One team I'm intrigued about that nobody's talking about is Auburn. I think they've been outstanding all season long. They've got the two young players. But my question that with the major teams in the SEC, none of them perform well on the road outside of even Kentucky is a number two seed, but outside of the win at Kansas, they're like 500 on the road away from home. So, some great matchups. I think, again, we're looking at this, but we're not talking about all the different upsets. A lot of double-digit mid-major teams that could cause some problems. New Mexico State is a 12 seed against UConn, I think, is they were grossly underseeded. That's just kind of the way it goes when they do these things. The South Dakota State at 13, they've got a history of playing well in the tournament, going against Providence in the 4 seed in the Midwest. So just a couple of – and I think another intriguing one, the two small schools being paired up in the 7-10 game in the East. Murray State is a team that nobody's talking about. Probably the last run for their coach. He's going to get big money somewhere to leave it and go somewhere else. 7 seed against USF, the Dons at the 10 seed. That's a fun matchup as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Of course, it would be kind of fun to see Murray State up against Kentucky. Would be really an exciting game for those of you who've been down in Southern Illinois or into the Kentucky area. That would be exciting. Brad, anything that we've missed or haven't done that you want to talk about?
No, I'm going to, you know, Larry mentioned Murray State. That was one of the teams I was very interested in talking about. I think they're really good. They're a really fun team to watch. They do a great job. I think that, you know, Murray State against Kentucky in the second round could be really fun. And they play San Francisco, who is the West Coast Conference. Now, I would say this, that, you know, you mentioned Gonzaga. And one thing I want to go off a little bit of rant about the ACC. Duke gets a 2 seed. And then you look down the ACC. Where are their quality wins? Because nobody in the ACC is very good. I mean, you know, North Carolina is, you know, on the 8-9 line. And you've got, you know, it's just not a very strong league. And so I'm not a, you know, I'm not a big proponent of Duke. I think the ACC, Duke got a big bump from having Coach K being in his last year. So those are my two thoughts. The ACC, I think the West Coast Conference, Gonzaga is a better league than the ACC this year. So especially at the top. So I don't know. I kind of just want Duke to lose because I'm tired of hearing about. Did you know it's Coach K's last year, by the way? Did anybody know that? Yeah. I forgot to tell you.
Who's Coach K?
Yeah. Well, you know, Brad, I do think it's interesting. And Larry, when he runs into Seth, can ask him why he didn't talk about the weaknesses of the ACC, which would be a more current story than how the Big Ten did last year in the tournament. And I do almost think, wouldn't it be poetic? I know that Izzo does not have one of his classic Michigan State teams, but if he was able to engineer the final game of Coach K, I'm going to probably tear up here because I do like Izzo, and I would like nothing more than to see him send Coach K into the sunset. Ked, any thoughts that you have that we haven't talked about?
You know, I'm just really intrigued and interested for the upsets. I mean, we always have the 5-12. I just don't know. It's so hard because we cover this and we watch games and we're talking about teams that are going to find a way to Sweet 16. We know this is not going to happen. There's going to be upsets. Somebody's going to be beaten, a last second shot, you know, or someone's going to be blown out. I mean, like everybody picked Illinois to go to Final Four last year and, you know, that place in Chicago with that sweet nun kind of, you know, ruin things for Illinois. There's going to be some upsets. And I guess that's the part I'm really looking forward to because it is, it's nice to root for the underdog. I just hope it's not, you know, Illinois is one of those teams, but it's been a good college basketball year, but I really, really enjoy the little guys to get a chance to shine on the big stage and show people what they got. And I just hope Illinois can finally get that attitude. This is a team that's made for March. I want them to get that swagger. I want them to be that dog that Brad Underwood said and to play like the way their coaches play, Chester and Coach Underwood and Tim and Jeff. This team is ready, but I think, you know, we've all seen them when they're bad, but when they're good, they can play with anybody. And I just, Matt, I have to give you credit. When I first saw this, Houston scared the hell out of me. It really did. I know, Brad, you said they didn't play anybody. I've seen Houston play. That was a major concern for me. But you know what? You got to win game one to get to game two. So that's my two cents.
Perfect. Connor, anything we didn't talk about that you're interested in?
Not specifically, other than maybe I want to see what Penny can do against Gonzaga in round two. I think that'll be a good matchup if Memphis can, obviously, they got to sweep by Boise State first, but I want to see what Duren can do against Chet. I want to see that matchup for the future in the NBA there.
Perfect. So, Matt, we're going to let you wrap this segment up.
To piggyback off of what Ked said, if you want to know who Houston beat, they have 3 blowout wins against Cincinnati, if you want to trigger Illinois fans. But up, up, but up, up. No, I think that there's I've said that I love Wisconsin's draw, and I do. I think that Illinois can go past where they did last year. But I just want to point out, I guess as homerific as this is going to sound, and I don't really care. Like Illinois is they're at the craps table again as a top 4 seeded team. and they have the dice in their hand, and they're gonna run the craps table and try it again. And if this is how this works every year, I think Illinois will have a run at some point that Illini fans are going to be thrilled with. I don't know if it's this year. I don't know if it's next year. I don't know when it is. But Brad Underwood now has produced three straight years where he's gone to the craps table as a top four seed, and let's see what happens, because it's a single elimination tournament, and who the hell knows what's going to go down. But I think Illinois fans should be happy today that, you know, they're one of the top 16 teams in the country for three straight years. And we all know they would have been, I think, a four seed 2 years ago when COVID-19 ruined everything. So this is progress. This is absolute progress. And I think Illinois fans have a right to be excited about the direction of where the program is.
Yeah. And I will say that, look, living through the Gross era, as bad as it was when we had to hear, you know, Dick Vitale make his promise before the Austin Peay game, and then Illinois lost, it's a heck of a lot better than sitting there knowing that you don't have a shot at anything in the postseason that we went through for quite some time. So I am more than happy to see Illinois back where they have a shot. And like Matt said, like we've all talked about, you know, even Bill Self, he's got one title, but you have to be there every year to put your team in a position to make that run. And so Illinois fans, if this season doesn't come out the way you want, it's still one of the building blocks to help this team make it. I'm going to do real quick, and then I'm going to hand it around to everybody. Then we'll wrap up. I'm going to say, I'm going to give Illinois a victory, and I'm going to say they do it by 11 points against Chattanooga come Friday. Larry, what are your thoughts? And we know the folks, we may make a revised pick later in the week with a little more study. This is off the top of our heads. Larry?
Yeah, I go double digit. I think that, like Ked mentioned, they've got a chip on their shoulder. I think they come out strong. As Brad mentioned, all the metrics point in the right direction. Double digit win for Illinois.
Brad?
I agree. I think Illinois wins. I've got them winning by 12, I think it is, looking at it right now, 12 to 13 points, something like that. I think they, you know, there's a chance. I could see them with Chattanooga. The matchup's really good, and I think they could win by more if they're hot. If they get hot from three and they have Kofi inside, I think they could win by more. So, but we'll see. I think it's a good game. You come out and you take care of business that one and set up a nice matchup with Houston in the second round.
Yep, Ked?
Well, the spread's out. Illinois' favorite 7.5. I just, you know, asked, and that's what I got. I just want Illinois to be hungry. It seems like they just can't get the monkey off their back, or their bad luck and things go wrong. Maybe this will be the year where things can go well for them, and they can get a little bit of luck. I mean, so I've always said I think the tournament's luck. Larry mentioned, you know, it's a one-game tournament, and it really and truly is. You know, just get the monkey off your back and go out there and show people how good you are. You know, Matt mentioned the fact that they have, you know, Brad Underwood's done a great job for 3 years putting this program back to where it belongs. Try to have a good run. I mean, you know, have some fun, but go out there and just be hungry and make people pay for not doing what, giving them what you should have gotten, giving you what you should have gotten.
Good. And a little bit of breaking news here for you Illini fans. Illinois will be playing at 5:50 p.m. on Friday. So that'll give you something over the dinner hour. And hopefully you'll feel good and it'll help your digestion. Connor, can you give them your prediction?
Yeah, I'll go with Illinois by 9 due to a Chattanooga fake rally at the end of the game there.
So the John Gross fake rally is now spreading across the country. So, Matt, why don't you take us home on this prediction?
I think Illinois wins by double digits because David John Batiste, he of the 40-footer that got him here, he hadn't seen a Hawk defensively like he's going to see with Trent Frazier. And I assume that Illinois is going to put Trent Frazier on him because they do a lot with ball screens with him and trying to get him open. And I do agree with Sturdy that I think the defensive trump card for Malachi is a guy by the name of DeMonte Williams. And I think that's all. I think that's an awesome deal that Illinois has too with him. If Jacob Granderson is healthy, I think that Illinois wins by double digits. If he's not, I still think they win simply because I think Illinois' defense is going to come to play in this game. And I don't think Chattanooga has anybody that they can, handle for 40 minutes or however long he's on the floor with Kofi Coburn. My concern is going forward. I think Houston is just a hawk defensively. I know they haven't played anybody and they haven't won anything for, but you know what? Except for maybe St. Mary's, neither has Gonzaga for the last 2.5 months either. I still think they're really good. And you just get in a habit of winning. I think that's a huge deal sometimes. So I think that's going to be, they're going to have their hands full with Houston if they get to that point. But I think Illinois wins by double digits here against Chattanooga, because I just think they have the defensive trump card for pretty much everybody on Chattanooga.
Perfect. So this is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I'm going to thank Illini guy Larry Smith and Illini guy Brad Sturdy, along with Illini guy's director of recruiting, Kedrick Prince, and Illini guy's staff writer, Matt Stevens, and Illini guy's basketball writer, Connor Kegley, for jumping in. We really appreciate everybody's time. And as usual, wanted to encourage folks to subscribe to IlliniGuys.com. That is where you get all the inside information. If you go back to our message boards, you can get all the rumors, the innuendos, watch the sausage get made, all the type of things that you can kind of get the inside information before it ever hits the streets. That's $99 a year. Go to IlliniGuys.com, subscribe there. You get the first 7-day trial. We don't charge your card until the 7th day. You don't like what you see, you can always cancel. Really don't have many people doing that, but that is an option for you. We also have a variety of podcasts, not just Eye on the Illini, but we also have Sturdy for 30. That's Brad Sturdy's award-winning podcast that's out there. And we also have Kedrick Prince's Ked's Recruiting Roundup, which will give you the other side of recruiting. And that is that of the athlete, the coach who coaches the athlete, or the parents of the athlete. It's kind of a neat point of view that you don't hear from anywhere else. And finally, we have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's our weekly 2-hour radio show. It is on Fridays and Saturdays across the state of Illinois. You can go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and boom, you will see all 25 stations, what day and what time they have us on. Please go there. And if you can tune in, please listen to us. And if you like it, call up that radio station and thank them for having us on the air. That means a great deal to us. With that, I am Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I hope you have a fantastic day. Thank you, and go Illini.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.